Today, we shall continue the four foundations of mindfulness. And yesterday, I have talked about prerequisite for the practice. Number one is continuous effort. Pali, we call attapi. Attapi has the sense of burning. Burn away the refinements. How? Let me give you an example, just to inspire you. During Buddha's time, there was a group of monks. They came to the forest and want to practice meditation. So, in order to make good progress, they make an agreement not to talk to each other. Noble silent. Not to talk to each other and not to meet with each other. It means don't see each other. Only during Patimokkha, first moon, new moon and full moon, then they will gather together to recite Patimokkha. So when the full moon comes, then they gather together. First, they have 15 monks. So first full moon, they counted, one is lacking. I don't know why this monk did not come to attain the Patimokkha. Then another 15 days, new moon comes. They gather again, four missing. Now 10 left. They start to puzzle. Why? Why the monks are missing? Finally, they found out. The monks are eaten by tigers. The five missing monks are eaten by tiger. And since they already make an agreement not to talk to each other, so when the monk were eaten, they also keep noble silence. Don't talk, don't shout, don't scream. Because this is the agreement they already promised. So you see how obedient their mind. Not like yogis here. No talking means talking. Silent means noisy. Okay, very different. So the training of monks and nuns, very different from training of lay person. You just can't help it. Okay. So the 10 monks discover. Oh, then they say that next time, if if he meets with the tiger, he should scream, asking for help. Don't keep silent. Please call help, help, so that we can come and help. Because new agreement now, okay? So after a few days, there was a monk encountered the tiger. So he shouted, help, help, help. And all the monk taking whatever they have in the forest, and all came out from the forest, chased after the tiger. And at that time, the monk was in the tiger's mouth. And the rest of the monk told him, oh, my friend, we can't help you anymore because how can we compete with tiger? Tiger run much faster than us. So the monks shouted, I can't help you, we can't help you anymore. Please arouse your effort to save yourself. Please arouse your effort and mindfulness to contemplate the body and your mind. So they encourage the monk because they can't help him anymore. And the monk also know. So although he was in the tiger's mouth, he aroused his effort, continuous effort, the attapi, the effort which can burn away the defilements. So finally, he died, but with the attainment of arahantship in the tiger's mouth. This is called attapi. continuous effort, strong effort, they can burn away defilement. That's not afraid of death. Not like yogi, so pampered. I get tired, I want to sleep on the bed. No, I cannot sit already, I want to sleep on the bed. How are you going to make progress? How are you going to make progress? Take continuous effort without discard the body and mind. Only then you will be succeed. You will be successful in the practice. This practice is not for weak person. Sorry. Why I can say so? Because I have practiced it before. I sleep only 4 hours. Here you sleep more than 6 to 7 hours. And after breakfast, some people go and sleep again. Exercise, they also go and sleep. After lunch, go and sleep. Evening, go and lie down on the bed again. You ask yourself, are you going to make breakthrough your practice if you have such weak mind, so pampered, little bit pain, I cannot already, I need to lie down on the bed. So you check your own effort. The first prerequisite, if you want to be succeed in your practice, continuous effort, there's no time for resting. I remember when I practiced in Myanmar under Siaro Upanita. 10 o'clock I sleep, sharp 2 o'clock a.m. I wake up. After breakfast, after lunch, I never lie down on a bed. Never. So when I wake up, I meditate. I was because at that time we don't have enough space. So 2 o'clock I wake up and start walking meditation in front of my teacher's house. My teacher not yet get up 2 o'clock because they get up 3:30. Okay. And when I was in Pao, because I have been trained in such diligent way. So when I first came to Pao, they shred the bell at 3:30. And I wake up at 2 o'clock. And you see Pao near the meditation center is cemetery. So from women quarter, went to the meditation hall, it's very dark. And I'm alone. I'm the only person get up at 2 o'clock. So I grope in the dark and finally reach the meditation hall. The gate not yet open. Take the pain, grope in the dark and reach meditation hall, the door not yet open. There's no point to go back, right? So I sit outside the meditation hall without the knowledge there's malaria there. Because if you are bitten by the mosquito, the chances to get the malaria is there. So at that time, I practiced without regard the body and mind. We all have to die, right? If you die during the retreat, I just want to say congratulations. You are bound to go to heaven and continue your practice. You don't even know you are dying yet. You don't even know you're dead already. There's a story in the Dhammapada. The monk practiced very hard until the wind, he don't want to eat, he don't want to rest, until the wind cut his stomach and he died. Even then, he did not know he dead already. He was dead already. And he immediately, spontaneously, he was reborn in Deva realm. Because Deva is spontaneous rebirth. So when he took rebirth there, he did not know he died already. Still closing his eye, meditating. And all the Deva, Devi saw the master came and still closing his eye and with the meditation posture. He know this one must be monk before. So they put a mirror in front of him and make some noise to disturb him. And the monk, the Deva, new Deva thought the lay person come to do dana already. So open the eyes. Immediately he saw the mirror in front of him. He see his own image. Change already. No more monk. Deva appearance. And he was so, do you think he happy or disappointed? He was so disappointed. He want to strive for arahantship, not for Deva. So you see how people strive without regard the body and mind. If you are so pampered to your body, forget the progress. Okay? This is called atapi, continuous effort. There's one more story to encourage you only. During previous Buddha's time, there also a group of monks. They make an agreement to go up using the rope, to climb up to the mountain, and after that, they throw away the rope. What does it mean? What does it mean? Either I survive or die. Either I attain arhatship or I die. Because I throw away the rope, I cannot come down. I don't have psychic power. This type of meditation. So when they climb up to the mountain, sleep in the mountain, do they have mattress or not? They are not going to long for mattress. I want mattress. So you see yourself and how you meditate compared. That's why previously I don't want to give mattress. This is the way I want to train you. But my organizing committee has so much compassion for you. I one person cannot fight with them. So okay, I give up. Let you have the mattress. Okay? So they go up to the mountain, no food also, right? No mattress, no food, no blanket, no sleeping bag. No so much good food as here. So if you under such situation, what can you do? Arouse the effort. If not, you have to die, right? Except arousing the effort, you cannot do anything else. So they practice very hard, very hard. If not, then they are going to die. Finally, because of this, under such circumstances, then some of them attain arahant. Some of them attain Sakadagami. And those who attain arahant with psychic power, they use psychic power to go for pintapa, then come back to feed those who have no psychic power. And one person without attaining anything and die. But don't feel pitiful to him. He should feel pitiful to you. So he died on the mountain. Immediately he was reborn in heaven. Enjoy the heavenly bliss. Until Gautama Buddha appeared in the world. When Gautama Buddha appeared in the world, his life in the heaven also expired. Then he was reborn as human being in the human world. At that time, he went for business by a ship, and the ship sank. So he go with the stream until to a land, an island. At that time, he has nothing. So he using a leaf to cover his body. At that time, because his way is very abnormal with the ordinary person, so people think he is a noble person. Self-mortification. He do what people cannot do, so people think he is a noble person and worship him. Worship him for many years until he himself also forget. He thought he is arahant. If you have been worshipped by so many people, gradually, the pride, conceit, ego all come up, all pop up, and forget you yourself as an ordinary person. That's why as a speaker of Dhamma, we always remind ourselves, we are not perfect yet. The more we give the Dhamma talk, the more ego we become. So we always must be mindful of our mind, not to become the slave of name and gain. So he thought he's arahant already. At that time, his good friend, when he strived together on a mountain in a previous life, one of his good friend became anagami and reborn in Brahma world. And this friend, since he is Brahma, he got psychic power, right? So he know what's happening with what's happening to his friend. out of compassion for his friend, so he came down to the earth and reminded his friend who strived together on a mountain, said that you are not Arahant. The real Arahant, who is Samma Sambuddha, already appeared in the world. Please go and see him. And this person called Bahiya, Bahiya was very excited the moment he listened the name Samma Sambuddha. All his hands stand on the end. He was so excited, and immediately he set up to see, to look or to search for Buddha. So after searching the Buddha for 3 days continuously, finally he found the Buddha. He found the Buddha. Buddha at that time, Buddha went Pindapat. And he was so excited. And he quickly approached the Buddha and tell, oh, Monday, please give me a sermon. Please give me a talk. He was so excited. And Buddha saw he was so tired, running far, searching him for 3 days, 3 nights without resting. And the mind is so excited. Buddha know, now is not the right time to give Dhamma talk. He said, hold on, slow, please hold on. I'm busy with Pindapata. Wait for a moment. But Bahiya said, no, please give me the Dhamma talk now. Buddha said, now is not the right time. That's why we say, clear comprehension of suitability, right? Buddha know it's not suitable to give the talk now, so he will not give the talk now. This is a clear comprehension of suitability. Sometimes it is beneficial to listen to talk, but the time is not suitable. Similarly, in a retreat, discussion of the Dhamma among the yogi is beneficial, but not suitable. Right? Because we are keeping silent and we want to spend our time on the meditation. So what is beneficial may not be suitable. Therefore, you must endow with clear comprehension of beneficial as well as clear comprehension of suitability. This is your wisdom. Your wisdom should judge what is suitable, what is not suitable, especially during the retreat. If you are at home, not suitable, you can do what you want to do. No one can say anything to you. You are the boss. But now, you are not a boss. Sorry to say that. You have to abide by the rules. Okay? So after third time, Bahiya asked Buddha to give him talk. Buddha say his assignment start to cool down. Not so excited already. After 3 times, okay, then Buddha preached him the Dhamma. Very short Dhamma. Then he attained Arahantship. When you see, there's only seeing. When you hear, there's only hearing. When you taste, there's only tasting. When you touch, there's only touching. When you think, there's only thinking. Such short Dhamma, Bahiya attained Arahantship. And yet we still don't know what's the meaning, right? What's the meaning? When you see, there's only seeing. What's the meaning? We still don't understand people already attained Arahantship, right? So what makes the difference? Because people practice so hard on the mountain, disregard his life. We don't have that type of effort. Therefore, because without that type of effort and mindfulness, we don't have that type of wisdom as well. Therefore, Dhamma is very fair. How much you put the effort, how much you respect the Dhamma will return to you exactly how much you pay respect to him. Bear in mind my word. If you practice very lightly, chin chin chai chai, happy going, sorry. Dhamma will not like you. Dhamma likes those who are sincere. And also another attitude which you should cultivate and which I emphasize so much. Respectful. Respectful. Why I say that? Because when I practice the Dhamma, I practice it very respectfully. When I walk, if I go, if I see here and there, I feel I'm not respecting the Dhamma. I always tell myself, a practitioner should not behave very lightly, want to do whatever he want to do. What he want to talk, he talk. He want to sleep. He want to say something, he say. No, I never do like that when I was a yogi. So because of that, when I practice the Dhamma as a yogi, I receive a lot of offering from who I do not know. Because the way of my practice inspired them. Even when I first go to Pa'a also, because I came from Mahashi tradition. Mahashi tradition emphasized on non-talking, always be mindful. Even I wink my eyes, I know. I must be able to aware when I wink my eyes. On the bed, first bell, when I want to wake up, I note my intention, want to open my eyes. Not like other yogi, just jump up without mindfulness. No, I didn't ever practice like that. So, because of my sincerity and my full respect to the Dharma, my teacher loved me very much. And all my fellow practitioners keep on offering me things. I don't know from who. Simply because my behavior, the way I practice, inspired them. So if one or two, three of you, or three of all of you can practice in this way, you can inspire the rest of yogi. So how much I respect the Dhamma, I also hope all the practitioners respect the Dhamma. This respect is very important. During Buddha's time, there was a time many new ordained monks. Then they all come to the monastery and the senior monk is trying to distribute the ropes. And all the newly ordained monks, they are not well disciplined. So they make a lot of noise like a bazaar. At that time, the noise is so noisy that disturb the Buddha's solitude. And Buddha asked, who are the villagers who make the noise? And the Venerable Sariputta said, oh, they are a group of newly ordained monks are now receiving the ropes that senior monk distribute to them. Buddha said, is it proper for a monk to behave like that, making so much noise, like in the bazaar? Ask all of them to leave the monastery. So you don't think, oh, Buddha's always compassionate, kind to you, metta, sorry. When you do wrong, especially his followers, monks, nuns, if they do wrong, Buddha will never hesitate to take action. He said, ask all of them, leave my monastery. So you may say, wow, Buddha so anisong. Why Buddha behave like that? No compassion. When it's time to take action, Buddha will not hesitate to take action. When the time to show compassion, Buddha will not hesitate to show compassion. Okay? Compassion and wisdom must go together. Not always metta, not always smiling, not always compassion. No. If the teacher is always like that, I think the student will not grow. Too soft. Right? Teacher is soft, student also soft. Not strong mind. So Buddha asked all of them, leave my monastery. And one of the monks, I think Ananda or one senior monk, Kim. So all the monks left. So and later on, one of the monks came to tell Buddha, please, out of compassion for him, if they left the Buddha's dispensation, they are in loss. give them one more chance. They ask Buddha to give all this newly ordained monk one more chance. And this time, out of compassion, Buddha said, okay, ask them, ask all of them to come back again. Okay. The why I want to tell you the story, just to let you know. To abide by the rules is very important. Otherwise, the organizing committee has to take action. Okay? Then come back to the Atapi, the Bahiya, when he heard, when seeing, there is seeing. What does it mean? For us, when we see something, there is not only seeing, there's also like, dislike, right? When you see something, there's also like and dislike, and the mind start to make his story already. I'm going to do this, that, I'm going to do that. For example, you take a tasty food. If you're a householder, how to make, when I go back, I want to make this type of food. The mind, it's not, when there's eating, there's not only eating. There's also story going on. But Bahia, no, he understand when there's tasting, there's only tasting, not further story. Okay, this mindfulness. When you eat mindfully. So when there's eating, there's when you are eating, there's only eating, no other restlessness that distract your mind, or no reaction of like or dislike. Okay. So this story is just to tell you atapi. In order to reap the benefit from the Dharma, you have to apply the necessary effort. The effort must be continuous, diligent, be able to burn away the defilements. Only then the Dharma will come close to you. Otherwise, the Dharma will not come close to you. Okay? And secondly, the prerequisite for the practice, clear comprehension, what are the four? Please repeat for me. Good, you have good sati, good mindfulness, because mindfulness means to remember. Okay? Then we have talked about, yesterday we talked about mindfulness. So we shall continue the meaning of mindfulness. So there are two ways to practice the mindfulness. One is methodical way. For example, Anapanasati. Yesterday you have listened to the talk already, right? So how to practice Anapanasati? Just apply your mindfulness on your breath. How can you make another meaning of mindfulness is not forgetful. Not forgetful also means to remember, right? So always remember your breath, then you will develop mindfulness. In order to make you always to remember your breath, you need what? Effort. Effort to direct your mind always to the breath. So because of having effort, then your concentration, your mindfulness is developed. When the mindfulness is developed, it means that you are not forgetful. You always remember the breath. Then the concentration, samadhi, is developed. When samadhi is developed, wisdom is developed. When wisdom is developed, the mind will be liberated from all the taints. The second way is bare awareness of an object as it is, and as it occurs, like the body activity. When you're stretching your hand, then as it is, you know you are stretching the hand, knowing it's wind element. When you're moving around, you know this is only wind element. It's called body activity. And contemplation of feeling. Also, you have to apply the second meaning of this sati. pleasant of mind. The pleasant of the mind, bear awareness. When pleasant feeling arises, know it is pleasant feeling. When craving arises, know it is craving. The mind affected by lust, as a mind affected by lust, as it is. Not the way you think it is. You see the difference? You see pleasant feeling as pleasant feeling as it is. Not the way you think it is. The way you think it is based on distorted perception. The way you think it is biased. It's distorted by your own distorted perception of permanent happiness and self. But if you observe it as it is, then it's free from all the distorted perception of permanent happiness and self. This is very important. Another meaning, you just see it as it is. Don't act in any reaction. Don't act in any judgment, any bias, any like or dislike. This is called as it is. It's own nature. It's real nature. And also the mind, five hindrances also same. When five hindrances arise in you, for example, slow and topper arise in you, then you observe it. How it arises, you observe it. Then you will see it may go stronger or it may go weaker, then finally disappear. If you can see in this way, then you are aware of us. You are aware of slow and topper as it is. But when slow and topper arises in your mind, you say, go away. Why you come and disturb me again? I hate you. Or maybe I do not sleep enough. I should go and sleep now. This is not the way as it is. This is the way you want it to be. This including your atta, including yourself already. Then how are you going to make progress? Right? So the way as it is and the way you want it to be is completely different things. Understand?
Yes.
Good. Okay. So another hindrance is restlessness. When restlessness arises in the mind, you know it. There's restless. There is restlessness. There's a thought. Then you observe it. Then you will see it stop, passes away. Then another one arises. Then you know it. Then it stop. It passes away. This is called observe the restlessness as it is. But if restlessness arises, or wandering thoughts arises, then you react to the thought. Yes, the thought is very nice. Continue to think. Then this is the way you like it to be, not the way as it is. Understand? But sometimes mindfulness is not strong. Of course, you go into the thoughts. You enjoy the thought. Then finally realize, where is my mindfulness? Then come back to the breath. Then you miss the chance to see the impermanency of the thoughts. So remember, you should aware any object as it is, not as the way you like it to be, or not as the way you think it should be. Okay? Similarly, when talk about little bit hindrances. What other hindrances you met? Your own hindrances. What hindrances you have in your practice?
Doubt.
Okay. Doubt. So when doubt arises in you, how should you note? When doubt arises in you, if you cannot observe it as it is, you will see, I'm going to check the book. I'm going to ask my teacher. I'm going to discuss with my student, with my fellow practitioner. And this is not the way as it is. this the way you want, you want the way you want to do. So when doubt arises in your mind, just note doubt. Doubt has arisen. Doubting mind. If you ready, if you are ready to give it up, then you will go. But if you are not ready to give it up, no matter how you note doubting, it will still persist in your mind. Not because it's not impermanent. Because of what? Because you don't want to let go of it. Right? So at this moment, when doubt arises in your mind, and yet it's not the right time to ask the teacher, you have to note it. Doubting mind, and put it aside first. Your mind must be ready to put it aside. Otherwise, no matter how many times you note, it will not go away. Because you are not ready to let it go. How can it go away? Okay, what else? Hindrances?
Put it aside,
say now is not the right time. Now is not the right time, so put it aside. Because the doubting cannot help you at this moment, so you note it as a doubting mind, then ready to put it aside first. I will clarify later with my teacher, not now. Okay. What else hindrances you have? What? Bawanga. The mind fall into bawanga. Okay. Why the mind fall into bawanga? Because of lacking mindfulness. The mindfulness is not continuous. For example, you practice anapanasati. When the mind become very soft, subtle, and quiet, it's very peaceful, and gradually your mindfulness become weak, weaker and weaker, then you lost in a state. You cannot remember your breath anymore, but you fall into a state very peaceful, very quiet. And then after some time, you start to realize, you come back to the senses, you come back to the breath and realize that, what's going on just now? I do not know anything, but it's very pleasant, very peaceful. This is called falling into bawanga. So before you fall into that state, your mindfulness must be continuous. Mindfulness means presence of the mind. Now you lose your object, you do not know what's happening. It means that no presence of the mind. It means that no mindfulness, right? So in order to make your mindfulness continuous, that you have to be continuous. Your effort must be continuous throughout the day. Only then you will prevent falling into bawanga. Okay, any other hindrances? Aversion of pain. Pain. First, to deal with the pain, I think the first point you must have the attitude of acceptance. Accept it as it is. No one can escape from the pain. Everybody who has no pain, please put up your hand. You see, everybody got pain. It's not only you, right? But people don't hate the pain. Why should you hate the pain? So the problem is not the pain. The problem is that your attitude towards the pain. You don't like it, you hate it. That caused the problem. I also have pain, but I accept it. Since I practice the Dhamma, I have so much pain. But I understand, when I have the body, I have the pain. There's no way to escape from it unless you enter into jhana. You enter into jhana for 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, there's no pain. Immediately you emerge from the jhana, ayo, a lot of pain here and there. So much pain. Why? Because you have the body. You have the consciousness. Your consciousness will be conscious of pain unless you are the corpse, dead body. No more feeling, then no pain, right? So acceptance is very important. Don't fight for it. Use your mindfulness, no. then you can generate the disgust, disenchantment towards the body. Because only with the body, there's the pain. So if you can arouse the disenchantment towards the pain, which is good, which is encouraged by the Buddha. Because we have so much attachment to the body, that's why we are caught in the samsara. But if you can develop disenchantment towards the body and later on towards the mind, because without the mind, you cannot feel the pain, right? So what should, if you want to blame, don't blame the pain, blame the body and the mind, and get disenchanted with the body and mind, and how to get free from the pain of the body and mind. One is jhana, second is nibbana. So since we cannot escape from the pain, accept it as it is. Acceptance is very important. And you understand, everybody share the same thing, everybody got pain. Yesterday come for interview, everybody complained, pain, pain, painful. And this is the reason sometimes I don't want to accept beginners, because they cannot endure the pain. But you really want to try, I recommend you to sit on the chair, and some people say no. Okay, up to you, right? If you cannot stand the pain, out of compassion for you, you sit on the chair, the pain will be lessened. And some yogis are so stubborn, no. And then what can I do? What can I do, right? So accept the pain and try to learn something from your pain. Okay? See the pain by way of four elements. Don't see the pain as the hindrances that block your progress. You say, I hate the pain. After 20 minutes, I cannot meditate because of pain. But you also cannot escape from the pain. So keep on hating. Keep on getting angry with the pain. It's not the right way. Right? So you have to change your mind. I told you already, if you cannot change the situation, change your mind. So change your mind. Develop maybe compassion for the pain, for your body. Develop wisdom to investigate the pain. What caused the pain? Or you see pain as changing. Pain is not stagnant one. Nothing is stagnant. It's the mindfulness not sharp enough to see the changing nature of the pain. Therefore, as a practitioner, I have no medicine to help you to cure the pain. The only thing I can tell you is accept the pain. If not, you keep on make your mind irritated, then you cannot break through the meditation. Right? This is a very important point. You should tell yourself. I think I share one story with you already. There was my student in USA. He is different from you. He liked to see the pain very much. When he cannot concentrate, he immediately go to the pain, and he can note the pain for 1 hour, 2 hours. Because of the pain, his mind is very focused. Because so painful, your mind cannot think of other things already, right? It's so painful, so your mind have to focus on the pain. So he keep on investigating the pain, 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. But after 3 hours, the pain is so painful, he cannot stand anymore. Then he reported to me. And I tell him, is the pain cure you or not? He said, no, I'm still alive. Oh, suddenly come to his senses. Yes, why should I afraid of pain? The pain never cure me, right? Then he continued, then he can sit 3 hours. No more. From that time onward, not afraid of pain. Yes, the pain never cure me. I never see anybody die of pain in a retreat. So don't be the coward. What coward is it? Be an heroine. a heroin effort, which my previous teacher, Sayadaw Upanita, always mentioned. Heroin effort. Under him, I have heroin effort. Okay. Another person, also American, no? He has good concentration, but after some time, he said pain comes. Americans are very pampered also. They are very afraid of pain. Whenever they feel pain, painkiller. They are so addicted to medicine, painkiller. No need to note like us. Okay, so one day I told him that, I said see the pain or pain will not kill you. I think it's the same thing. I said pain will not kill you. They are so afraid to be killed by the pain, you know. He said if after some time my leg get injured already, I have to go and see doctor. Now after my leg hurt already, then I cannot walk. So much worry, anxiety, so they have no courage to face the pain. So I said the pain won't kill you. This one is American, previous one is Chinese migrate to America. The second one, scan student is American. He has very good concentration, but after 1 and 20 minutes, because of the pain, he has no determination to go on. Then I say, the pain never will not kill you. Then suddenly he come to his senses. Yes, the pain never kill me. So next sitting he go and sit and bear in mind, the pain will never kill me. And he sit 3 hours. He was so happy, come and tell me, sister, finally I overcome one of my greatest hindrance, afraid of pain. All these people, just change the mind only. Just one word, changing your mind. You cannot change the situation, change your mind. The mind will not, the pain will not kill you. Then he break through. So changing your mind is very important, okay? Okay, that much hindrances you encounter and that much I can share with you. Body activity during the retreat, when you are moving around, wearing your shirt, carrying your bowl, and eating, drinking, consuming food, and tasting, defecating, and urinating, walking, standing, sitting, fast asleep, waking up, or whatever action you do, try to cultivate mindfulness. Do whatever action with mindfulness. This is one of the bodily contemplation. Okay, now we come to feeling contemplation. How Buddha taught feeling contemplation? Here, when feeling a pleasant feeling, a bhikkhu understands, feel a pleasant feeling. When feeling a pleasant feeling, he understands, I feel a painful feeling. When feeling a neither painful nor pleasant feeling, he understands, I feel a neither painful nor pleasant feeling. So now a pleasant feeling arises in you. You understand, you know there's a pleasant feeling in me. This is what? Mindfulness. Bear awareness. Know. With detached attitude. You just know. There's a pleasant feeling arisen. Pleasant feeling as pleasant feeling. This is what Buddha instructs how to do. And you feel an unpleasant feeling, you know there's an unpleasant feeling in me. Don't say, I am unpleasant, I am pleasant, I am neither pleasant nor unpleasant. Don't add I am into your contemplation. Just see feeling as feeling. Pleasant one as pleasant one, neither pleasant nor unpleasant one as it is. Don't add in any I am. No self-identification. Don't personalize your experience with I. This is called bare awareness. So there are three types of feeling in the practice. In our life, there are three types of feeling. One is pleasant one, must remember all three. Another one is unpleasant, and the third one is neutral feeling, neither pleasant nor unpleasant. And pleasant feeling also can be divided into two classes. One is called worldly, one is called unworldly. What is worldly pleasant feeling? For example, your eye sees something pleasant and you feel very pleasant. This is called worldly pleasant feeling. What is unworldly pleasant feeling? What is that? Unworthy, do you have unworthy pleasant feeling? What is that? During your meditation, sometimes the mind can concentrate well, right? So you feel the body is very light, very pleasant, no more weight, like floating in the sky. So you feel pleasant, very pleasant. At that time, it's called unworthy pleasant feeling. It's such unworthy pleasant feeling should be encouraged or should be discarded. Do you think we should put away this unworthy pleasant feeling, or should we keep it with us? Okay, put away is also correct. Keep it also correct. Depend on what meditation you practice. If in the concentration practice, concentration practice, this unworthy pleasant feeling should be encouraged. If you don't have this unworthy pleasant feeling, then you will have pain. How are you going to continue? So you need to cultivate this unworthy pleasant feeling so that you will love your meditation, so that you can sit long time, 3 hours, 4 hours, no problem, because the pleasant feeling can sustain you to sit long without pain. Therefore, in the samatha meditation, unworthy pleasant feeling should be encouraged. Even vipassana, we don't push away, neither we keep it. Neither pushing away nor keeping it. Why? Because vipassana practitioner see things as it is. When it is pleasant feeling, I know it is pleasant feeling. I'm not trying to keep it with me. Don't go away. No. I'm also not trying to push it away. All these are keeping it with me or pushing away, all are reaction of the mind. If you react in this way, then you lose your mindfulness. You do not see pleasant feeling as pleasant feeling. Instead, you react to it, or you see it the way you want. Then you are practicing strengthening the atta, the I, the ego, right? Because you practice it, you want the present feeling the way you want. So you are strengthening the self, the ego. How are you going to realize non-self? Far away. Therefore, vipassana practitioner, we do not add in any ingredient to our cooking pot. We just see it as it is. If it is pleasant, I know it's pleasant. I do not grasp it, neither I reject it. I just observe it with detached attitude, with the sustained mindfulness, gradually this phenomena, pleasant feeling, will subside because it is the nature of all phenomena to be impermanent. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay, then that's enough. Okay, 10 o'clock, sharp.